say that there's nothing I can say or do that will impact people apart from your word, apart from your Holy Spirit speaking through me. I surrender myself to you this morning, Lord. I say that even as I dedicated my child to you, I dedicate my life to you also. The things of the past that I did not please you, Father, I ask that you would cleanse me of those things, that this morning your word would go forth, that it would penetrate, that it would divide the marrow and the bone. Lord, that it would speak to our hearts this morning, that we would walk away changed, that we would walk away more into the image of Jesus Christ, that we'll be open to receive even hard words of truth, that we might be changed, that we might make an impact for your kingdom, that the world might see that there is something truly different about us, that it's not just a Sunday game. I commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. This symbol, here's where we start our math lesson. This symbol literally means missions to the God power. If you remember anything about math, you know there's multiplication, division, and all sorts of other things you can do in geometry or trigonometry or whatever. But this is exponential growth. When you see something raised, if it might be a number here, 2 to the second power, there would be a 2 with 2 raised. What this literally means is missions raised to the God power. Today, as we look at giving and investing into mission work, my whole focus is going to be, we cannot do or make an impact in the kingdom of God unless God is the one who multiplies the money. This message is not about financial money. This is not about your checkbook. It's not about your bank account, because God doesn't need that. Okay? This message is about you have an opportunity to invest. You have an opportunity because God wants you to create a testimony with Him. God isn't one of those people who just sits up there and says, the obligation is there, there's no reward, and regardless of if you do it or not, I don't care. God is saying, I want you to be a part in building my kingdom. You have to remember, we have to remember, it's always about people. Always. It's always about people. It's never about the dollar amount. There's going to be a lot this morning where maybe in your mind, because finances, the world has made finances something we just simply can't talk about. It's my money, I earned it, you know. It's kind of one of those privacy issues. But that's not how it should be. That's simply not how it should be. We should have the ability to discuss finances. We should have the ability to discuss sowing and investing into the kingdom of God, because that is how God did it. If you look at the Old Testament, you look at these men who God invested, who had literally storehouses. They were the richest men in the world. Abraham, David, Solomon. And you wonder, what was different about them? Why did they have the money? Why did they have the power? Well, the world calls it power. It really wasn't anything. Money is just a tool. The reason is because God is searching for people He can invest finances to, because He knows they'll build His kingdom with it. They're not going to go spend it on the passing pleasures of sin. This morning I woke up about five o'clock. I just woke up and started thinking and praying. And the way I develop a message isn't necessarily by sitting in front of my Bible and just pulling out scriptures and just writing them in order. What I do is I take, the Spirit will give me something. The Lord will just speak something small to me, and I'll just meditate on it for a while until I've kind of chewed it up, and then He'll give me something else. And that's how I just operate. That's how the gift in me operates. And this morning I got up, and one of the things the Lord spoke to me, and I want to say this first, this message isn't directed at you. This message is directed at us. This message is directed at us. This is just as much about me. Because here it is, easy for me as a missionary to say, hey, give missions your money. But I'd be interested to see if there's anyone who made less than the missionaries you saw this morning last year. It's not about money. What it's about is us realizing that God is looking for people to make an impact in His kingdom. And the Lord spoke to me this morning and said, Jacob, if comfortable living is on your priority list, good luck convincing me to bless you. Jacob, if comfortable living is on your priority list, good luck getting me to bless you. (Clears throat) This message is about obedience. It's challenging me, it's challenging you to put your faith into action. And I'm not just, again, I'm not even talking about today specifically. I'm talking about being obedient to the Spirit of God. Let's go ahead and start the slideshow, David. We're looking today for exponential growth. We're looking for God to multiply and meet every single need that we as His people have. I got a question for you. Most of you, in fact, if not all of you, have probably heard this before. But just bear with me because it gets the point across. Jacob, what is exponential growth? How do I understand it? Okay, if I had $1 million right now with your name on it, would you take a $1 million check right now, or would you take a penny a day doubled every single day for a month, for 31 days? Most of you have probably heard this, but which one would you take? Think about it. I would hand you a check with 6 zeros before the decimal point today. That's $1 million. $1 million if I handed it to you. Which one would you take? Anybody? The latter. Let's look at the answer. So the first one, go to the next slide. The first one yields you $1 million, or in 31 days, which is the average month, a penny a day doubled. You're starting with one penny, and exponentially it grows to $5,368,000, and you know, the rest is just chump change. But this is a cute illustration for me to prove the point that today we have to look to the heart of God and realize, Father, there are needs in Romania. There are needs in Tyler, Texas. There are needs in Lindell, Texas. There are needs in Israel, all over the world. And this dollar I'm sowing isn't about the dollar. It's not about the George Washington. It's not about the paperback. What it is, it's about me saying, I have faith that you can grow this to meet the needs of all the saints. Paul said, I'm not looking for the gift. I'm seeking the fruit that abounds to your account. We did a newsletter one time in Romania. And Naomi was asking me, she has a gift of writing. If you've got our newsletter, she's just gifted. I don't know. I write horribly. I mean, when I write it, it's just, I am Jacob. You know, it's just, hi. You know, it just flows out of her. And she was asking me, what's your heart for this newsletter? And I said, my heart is this. We seek not the gift, but the fruit that abounds to your account. One of the reasons I love to know who supports me is because I know the faith that's being put into action. I see the people and I can honestly say the fruit that's abounding on their account, God is the perfect accountant. Jody is probably second on that list. He's an accountant by profession. God never misses one penny that we invest. Why does He do that? Why? Because He's concerned about you. He's concerned about you. He's concerned about me. Before I get into the Scripture, I want to say this. We have made money, and I say we, I mean the world today, and the church is just kind of tagged along. It's kind of sad that the world is setting the trends and the church is just the followers, when it should be the church setting the trend, and the world says there's something different about them. But the world is setting this trend that money is power. Money equals power. That's such a lie. Money is simply a tool. Ask my brother-in-law, who's an excellent craftsman. He can do pretty much anything. My stepdad, my father-in-law, Mr. Hill, my papa. There are many men in the world who are great craftsmen. But does simply having the most amount of tools make you the world's greatest craftsman? If I said, I'm Jacob, I can build anything, I'm the best craftsman in the world. Well, how can you measure yourself like that? Well, come see my tool shed. That means nothing. If I don't know how to properly use the tools that I have, you'll get it in a second. If I don't know how to properly use the tools that I have, it doesn't make me anything. Doesn't make me anything. I can have the most expensive tools in the world, have the most, and it doesn't make me anything. But a man with just a simple hammer and nail could be the greatest carpenter around, alive, ever. The same way with money. Having the most money does not make you the most powerful. You can have the most money and be the worst financially managed person in the world. I know somebody like that. My dad works for a really wealthy company, and the wealthiest man in their company has somebody else manage his money. Because he just doesn't have the financial ability to manage money. Are we getting the point? The world has made money our focus, and it cannot be our focus. The kingdom of God has to be our focus. It's amazing to me. You see, God could require everything of us and everything from us. He could require every penny we make. He could require every second we have, and yet not reward us one time outside of what Jesus, even if Jesus didn't do what he did, and yet he would still be worthy of our praise. If the love letter to you did not even exist, and yet God still required everything from you, he is still worthy of your praise. He is. But yet he still gives us incentive. He still gives us incentive. We don't give because of incentive, but it's a great thing. My daughter is going to do many things in her life because I give her incentive to be obedient. Incentive is a good thing. It's a good thing. Ask any parent. It's a good thing. Now, you don't do it to spoil your kid or because you don't want to discipline them correctly. It's because you're training them up. God has given us incentive. Here's the lesson on investing. And this is from I used to work at a bank. So an ex-banker told you this. You could take this, tell people, an ex-banker told me this. Let me tell you the keys to smart investing. It's really, really simple. You get back more than you put in. Your return is always greater than your investment. And the greatest and the thing that all smart investors look for is a low risk, high reward scenario. It's that simple. It's that simple. Think about something. Am I going to invest in this? Well, what's the risk compared to the reward? If the reward is greater than the risk, go ahead and invest. It's a smart investment. Well, that's the simple world way to invest. But my question for you today is, with investing with God, there is no risk. And you're storing up eternal treasures. If you think giving and sacrificing in this earth is a risk, your perception is wrong. Deny yourself, give your whole life to Him, and reap the reward. Mark 6. Most of us have heard about this. This is the story of when Jesus fed the 5,000. He multiplied loaves and He fed the 5,000. Verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. Now I want to put this into context. Jesus is trying to get away. He's trying to tell us, he told his disciples just a few verses earlier, this is not up there, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest for a while. They were in need of rest. But yet when he saw these people, in number of greater than 5,000. Well, 5,000 specifically is what Scripture said. A lot of people look into it. Let's just say 5,000. He saw them and he was moved with compassion because they were like a sheep not having a shepherd. This is the heart of Faith Promise. This is the heart of me. This is the heart of this message. There are people who are like sheep without a shepherd. And we have a need. And that's the need. They need a shepherd, and only we who are Spirit-filled can bring it to them. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." The next slide. But Jesus answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now, think about in your life. Have you ever been in a place where there's about 5,000 people? Where you could just picture the amount of people, maybe a stadium. the Lindell Stadium, I don't know, might hold around 5,000 if it's fully packed. I went to the Cofield prison this last Thursday. And Patrick, on the way there, or maybe it was on the way back, he said, yeah, this unit is about 5,000 men. And I began to think, five loaves and two fish is not going to go very far with 5,000 hungry men. I want you to remember the day, the scripture says the day was already far spent. These men were hungry. How many of you men out here could eat five, maybe the five loaves of bread because you might not have anything to put on it. How many of you could easily eat two loaves and two fish? Oh, we only have one? Two? Okay. I'm sure there's a lot of you who easily could. Today, we're not asking God to multiply the money because multiplication doesn't get you very far. If Jesus would have multiplied that, let's say that fed two men, he would have to multiply it 2,500 times. That's just a little simple math. But we're going to stop there because I want to keep you with me. He would have had to multiply it a lot. But what Jesus did was he saw the need. And only he could do the exponential growth to feed these men. In fact, Scripture says when they got done, there were 12 basketfuls left. 12 basketfuls left. But what breaks my heart about this is the scriptures that follow. When they get done, they get in a boat and they go across the sea. This is not on there either. Sorry, David. They get across the sea and Jesus sees them. They think he's a ghost walking on the water. Scripture says, and he would have passed them by. And when they saw Jesus, he said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. But this is the account. This is in sequential order. This actually happened in this order. In Mark 6, go to 51. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. They had not understood about the loaves, therefore they missed Jesus later on. The reason their heart was hardened was because they missed the heart of God. This morning, do not miss His heart. Do not miss it. This is not about giving out of your abundance. This is about looking at Jesus and saying, you need me to help you build your kingdom. You want me to invest in you. You want to build a testimony with me, a relationship that nobody else can have, that nobody else's story is going to look like yours. Do not miss His heart when He's saying, feed them. When God is speaking to you, whether it's Romania, whether it's Israel, whether it's Croatia, whether it's anywhere else, even if it's somewhere outside of Faith Promise, and He's saying, feed them. Don't miss His heart because you're so focused on the money. Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread? Sure. Are you getting my heart? Are you getting what the Lord is trying to say this morning? We invest in things like 401ks, and I'm not saying these things are bad, okay? I haven't made my decision up yet. But what I am saying is we're focused. We spend our whole life working for that 20-year retirement, if you're lucky, 20 years. But yet we're not investing for an eternal retirement. We're not investing for eternity with Jesus Christ. We think we have it figured out. If I offered you a deal right now, give me everything in your wallet now and double it right now, who would do it? Man, maybe you guys aren't good investors. I'd do it. But that's what God is saying. It's not about Him. I'm not saying He's going to double your money. What I'm saying is He's saying, give. Invest in my kingdom. Help build my kingdom. The Lord spoke to me this morning, and I told my wife this. I want to tell you a testimony. I want to get into a testimony. This is powerful. We had a man give us $1,500 in Romania. Now let me give you an idea. Yeah, he gave us $1,500. We spent $750 on, I always forget, on a stove. We needed a new stove. And I don't know what the, maybe, I don't know, maybe a little Visa money. I think it was past the Visa time. Anyway, we had $750 left. We were going to give birth at a private clinic in Romania, and it was going to cost $750. God had provided for it. Hallelujah. Our faith was increased because of this man's giving. Okay? God spoke to us one night. We were riding home. There's another couple who were 5 months farther along than Naomi, and it was in their 9th month of pregnancy. They were going to the same clinic, but they didn't have the $750. We gave it, no big deal. It's not a big deal. We make giving like the pinnacle of Christianity. We're just meeting needs. You know, we're meeting the needs of the saints. Paul talked about that. We gave it because we loved them. We come back, how much, ask my mom, ask my wife, ask my mother-in-law, how much did our birth cost? $0. Because God had already set up a lady here who was faithful to do it for us for free. You see, one gift God gave to us, and He met our need. We could have kept it, and we could have gave thanksgiving to Him, and it would have been proper to give Him thanks. We did give Him thanks. In fact, He was glorified in our lives. We were very thankful. But yet, because He said, give again, we met somebody else's need, two families. That's the growth that God wants to do that I was talking about earlier. Are we seeing where this is going? God met the needs of people who couldn't. And you say, well, it would have happened even had you not given it to them. You know, I'm not so sure about that. I'm really not sure about that. Naomi, we left in 23 days. We decided one day to go to Romania. 23 days later, we're on a plane. We sold everything we had, and what we didn't sell, we pretty much sold everything we had. If it wasn't worth buying, it probably wasn't worth keeping. Anyway, the thing we had of the most value was my wife's guitar. Randy, my wife's guitar was the thing we had of most value. This guitar was about $3,600. I know because I bought it when she was 16. This is the only thing we had of true value. I come home one night, my wife is just sitting there looking at me like this. I'm thinking, okay, what happened? She said, God told me to give my guitar to Ovi, which is the pastor's son. And I said, she's my witness. I said, honey, if you want to, that's fine. That's perfectly fine with me. Because I knew that the gift that she has in her, it's a gift of giving. And I knew that that was going to make a bigger impact, because now there's a guitar that's being invested and being used worship every single Sunday and every single Wednesday in a church when it was just going to rot in our house. Not that she didn't play it, but you know what I mean. She wasn't leading worship anywhere. You know what that happened? You know what God did with that? The youth group saw, because the youth group pretty much idolized this guitar. There were about 4 of them learning guitar, and they're like, this guitar, I mean, they couldn't get their eyes off of it. I'm thinking, I'm horrible at music, so I had no idea what's going on. I'm just thinking, don't touch it without washing your hands first, you know. But you know what God did with this? Because my wife's willingness to give, a girl went to a camp where she was a Christian girl, and she was ministering to 4 non-Christians. And they were from a very impoverished part of Romania. The girl came home. Her name is Ricky. She's got such a sweet spirit about her. She's a sensitive girl. She's about 16. She said, I gave my Bible away. And we don't understand. I got like 6 Bibles. She had 1. She had 1. She said, I gave my Bible away. I thought about when Naomi gave her guitar. And I realized that this girl, that God could use this Bible with this girl a lot more than me, because I can get another one. This is the heart of God, people. This is it. This is what, there are thousands and thousands of stories about people who are willing to lay it all down. 2011, I don't know if I'm supposed to share this or not, but I'm sharing it for the right reason. Just like the apostles did in Acts, just like the people did in Acts, Joppa would sold his plot of land and laid it at the apostles' feet. We need to start doing that. I'm so blessed when churches give when it's able to be seen, because it incites a joy. You know why the gift of giving is a gift? Why it's called a gift in Scripture? Is because the impact it can make, it's what's the word? Like if I'm sick and I give it to you? It's contagious. The gift of giving is contagious. Hey, I didn't say I was an English professor. I said I was going to teach you math. Giving is contagious. It's contagious. You saw it with the testimony of my wife. That's why it's a gift. We are looking for people this year, including myself. Naomi and I decided this morning, because when God speaks a message to you, if it's a true message, He's already working on you. Ask anybody who's ever preached. If it's a true message from Him, you know it's coming from you and the things you're struggling with, the things you're dealing with. And this morning, Naomi and I decided, you know what? 51% of our income this year is going to be given away. Not as a legalistic thing. Hear me out. But because I'm going to test the Lord, and I'm going to say, Lord, I'm giving. Basically, I'm saying, Lord, if you don't come through, we won't make it. You know how hard that is to say when you have a daughter who's 3 months old? You know how hard that is to say? But that's the type of faith God's looking for. Go and sell your most expensive land. It happened in Scripture. Give, meet needs, people. Man, I'm way behind schedule here. Sorry, Joe, I will finish on time. Yeah, I got 4 hours left. 2 Corinthians 8, 1:15. Let's go here. Paul is writing, and this is basically my heart for CLH this morning. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. These people urgently pleaded with Paul to please let us give, please let us invest. I don't know if I've ever heard that. Jacob, I don't know if you've ever said that. Please find a way to invest. It's usually like, okay, I can do this. You know, I can do this. Honey, we can do this. These people were flat broke. And yet they were seeking ways to invest. And they exceeded our expectations. And this is the key right here. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, now here there should be a hyphen, from in faith, until the love you have kindled. This is, he's talking, since you excel in all these things, okay? Since you excel in faith, since you excel in speech, in knowledge, and since you excel in complete earnestness and in the love we have kindled, see also that you excel in the grace of giving. The same way I'm saying this to you this morning. Jacob is not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. You know who gave the most to Naomi and I this year? I'm speaking outside of Faith Promise. Faith Promise supported us on a monthly basis. They paid for our house. They know how thankful I am. I'm so thankful. The people who supported Naomi and I the most this year were a family of a high schooler I used to go to high school with. This lady hasn't seen me in three years. I say that to say, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that through His poverty might become rich. I want you to be obedient to God, not for me. I mean, because I'm just going to give away what I get. I want you to be faithful because God wants... He wants to write a testimony with you. You know, you realize there's books in heaven? There's the book of life, which is what He's going to look through to see if your name is there when you enter His kingdom. But there's also books, like when I said God is the greatest accountant ever, I wasn't joking. I wasn't kidding. I wasn't being cute or smart. I was simply saying, the truth is this. God is keeping a record of everything you do. He loves to see His people playing a role in His kingdom. I meant it this morning. It's not about the dollar amount. It's about obedience. Obedience to His Spirit. And what will He do for you? What will He do for you? I talked about incentive. And I was almost going to say it's not about the incentive. But yeah, think about it. What will He do for you? And with that, I'm going to ask my wife to come up and tell you. This is another testimony. We're young. There's a lot of things. Our zeal sometimes consumes us. As you can probably see, sometimes I might just act out of zeal instead of... I always try to base it with knowledge, or I always will base it with knowledge because I'm not going to go down that path. But what I'm saying is, if God is speaking something to me, even if it's emotional, if I know it's a spirit, I'm going to do it before I can question it. Because if I don't, then that's when I get in trouble. So with my wife sharing this, hear our heart here. This is something that is very close to me, and it's a miracle. This is a miracle. Well, what happened is a miracle. I'm just going to let her talk.
Well, we found out in February of last year that we were pregnant with Bethany, and with that, we're like, we have a lot of needs, but we also knew that God had sent us to Romania, and if He called us, He's going to take care of us too. So what we decided to do is we're just going to write down, God, what do we need? What do we need? And I kept it in my Bible, and every time I saw it, I would pray for these things. Lord, we need a car. We need a new oven. We need a crib. We need a stroller. We need a swing. We need a car seat. We need a dresser. We need a bassinet. We need money for our doctor's appointments. We need good English-speaking doctors. We need diapers. We need money for medicine, vitamins, groceries. We need money for plane tickets home. We need everything that goes with having a baby. We need a fridge. We need new flooring. We need health care. And then we need visa money and money for Bethany's passport. I'm not saying this like to say, woo, props to Jacob and Naomi. When we file our taxes with Jody this year, we're going to claim about $8,000 having made last year. And the testimony is God provided every single last thing on this list. And that is the exponential growth that we're talking about. $8,000, that would be like the car. And He provided for every last thing on this list because He's faithful. And because every gift that was given to us, God exponentially increased. He didn't double that dollar. He exponentially grew every gift that was given to us. And He has been so faithful. And knowing that, we can say, if we give away 51%, the Lord's going to take care of us still. And He's going to take care of Bethany for us. So that's our testimony. Yeah.
And when Joe's coming up right now, I want to say this. Now this is a personal thing. This isn't bashing about. This is a testimony. I'm in the presence of the person that I know has given the most of her entire life and his entire life, and that's my grandparents. And I want to say that this isn't some supernatural, well, I'll give a dollar and we'll just see what happens. This is very practical, people. It's very practical. There were a lot of times they simply said, what are your needs? And we'll meet them. But we knew it was God. You know? We knew it was God. And so today, listen to God. Listen to His Spirit. One of the scriptures I was going to share later on said, don't give grudgingly or out of obligation, but give because God loves a cheerful giver. He loves a cheerful giver. Give because you're saying, Lord, I want to invest in You. Don't do it out of obligation or grudgingly. Do it because you want to invest in His kingdom. And let Him do the rest. You will be surprised. He's writing a testimony with you. It's going to be amazing. As long as you take the first, as long as you're willing to say, I'll do this. So, thank you.
These messages go online immediately, so if you want to hear this again, you can. Keep the recording going, because who knows what I'm going to share. There may be somebody, you know, in a rich Middle East country that says, I want to be part of Faith Promise today. So we're just going to keep the recording going and let that do whatever God wants to do with it. I certainly think that Jesus did that miracle of the loaves and the fishes to show this principle that we're talking about today. I think that when that little boy was willing to give it all, look what he got. I'm sure that he went back for seconds, thirds, and fourths like some of the guys at Calvary Commission do. When he got home that day, this is not verified, but it's been preached before. When he got home that day, his mother said, well, how was your day? The little boy said, you wouldn't believe it if I told you. And that's the way it is with the kingdom of God. It's hard to explain how that God continues to build his kingdom. I want to share with you just for a second here what faith promise is. First of all, it's not a pledge. It's not a pledge. It's, I'm going to believe that as God enables me, this is what I want to do this year. I heard one brother say that every year he would buy an old clunker car and he would work on it and fix it up and give God everything he got for it. And that was his way of meeting a missions. I'm going to give you something now, and I want our ushers to put these in your hands. It's called a Faith Promise 2011 Missions to the God Power. And it's blank. Sometimes some of these guys come to me and they say, I need some gas. Can I get a credit card? And I said, a filling station in California? You know? Sometimes when you leave a blank check, it's fill in the blanks. Well, I'm going to ask you this morning to fill in the blanks. There's blanks in this card that is there. And we're passing these out this morning throughout the congregation. And I want you to take it and hold it in your hand. If you don't have a pen, raise your hand. And we'll put a pen in your hand also. Because this is going to be your contact with the kingdom of God in missions for this coming year. And we're going to ask you to pray, not to do anything through, like, grudgingly or forcibly. Perhaps you're a guest today and it's a little hard to understand what we're doing, but you've seen what Faith Promise has done this year, and this is not your tithes and offerings. This is in addition to your tithes and offering, and what you're saying is, God enables me, I'm going to do more. I'm going to be part of missions this year. I'm going to do this. Now let's think for a moment about how this could be. What would you have to give up in order to give? What would it be? Would it be a Whopper meal at McDonald's? No, that's not. That's a Burger King. That would be a miracle, wouldn't it? Or even better, at Whataburger. What would it be? Or at a steakhouse? What could you give up that you usually spend? Would it be water instead of the big Coke? What would it be that you could give up each week? Just think about it in terms of a week. What if it was $10 a week? That'd be $40 a month or more. What if it was $25 a week? That would be $100 a month that could go into missions. And so as you would say, I'm going to sacrifice something that I've been doing in order to be part of investing in worldwide missions through this process here. Now, in addition to Faith Promises, you've seen from the tithes and offerings, we have continued to support certain missionaries. We support $300 a month for 20 retired pastors in Cuba. And that's beyond faith promise. And so we are able to be a missionary church, and that is why that God has continued to bless us with increase of finances, increase of people, is because we have put Him first. And so in this card that you've got, it says name, address, city, state. Well, that's a typo. State, zip, so much per week, and you can do the math, as Jacob said. Equals so much per month, equals so much per year. Now, you'll never get a statement. No one will ever call you. This is a faith promise. As God enables me, I'm going to commit to this much this year. In a few moments, Jody is going to put a mathematical program on the computer back there, and we're going to be able to see what our joint giving is. And I believe that we can go past the 24,000. Is that it? I believe we can go past the 24,000 in our missions giving this year. So to do that, if you made a faith promise last year, well, just pray and say, Lord, thank you. I was able to do that. And now, Lord, can I increase it a little bit? Can I be part of the extending miracle that is taking place? And does anybody need a pen? Could you hold these up? Just lift these up to the Lord this morning. And we're going to pray. Now, Lord, as we have these in our hands today, make sure the youth get one. As we give these in our hands today, as we make this contact, Lord, this is a way that you can speak to our hearts. Lord, we ask you to put in our hearts what you desire, because we know that if you desire it, you're going to fulfill it. You're going to make a place for it. You're going to show us how to save it. You're going to show us how that with that gain we can give it, Lord, in some way that we'll be able to be part of this wonderful miracle of investing in missions around the world. Lord, we thank you because people were faithful last year and that they were able to do this much as we together, jointly, as a team, we were part of all of these people's lives. Lord, we've heard this morning the thank yous for the missionaries on the field, for those that are out there today serving. Lord, for those that went from this congregation into some of these areas and they were able to invest their lives in these places. So, Lord, here we are today all as missionaries because we can be senders. We can be senders as well. And so, God, we ask you right now to show us what to do in Jesus' name. Amen. The worship team is coming back at this time, and we want to, like it has been announced, give you an opportunity to celebrate this wonderful banquet meal. And during this time, we're going to be able to give a report of what is coming in. And we're just going to come out with the offering pans. And so as God enables you and as you are led this morning, we'll write down your faith promise commitment. And we're going to take it up in the baskets. And may you be blessed as you give. Blessed be the Lord our God. Thanks be unto God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Hallelujah. If you feel you need to take this home and pray about it this week, we will be receiving these again. For those that would want to do that, those that are not here this morning, we'll be giving this challenge to them to be part. Go ahead. Now we've made extra coffee. We've got a meal prepared. We ask you to stay. They've been decorating the tables back there. We ask you to be sure and observe the missions display back there with special newsletters from our missionaries and various things there. Go ahead and receive the faith promise cards.
Thank you.
you so much. Hallelujah. One announcement. Home group next week, it says the 21st. It's the 23rd. It's next Sunday night at Bill and Linda Cook's house. We appreciate all of you for coming and your participation in this great special day. We encourage you all to stay for the meal. We're going to be lining up right over here and going through the line in just a few seconds here. But if you have to go, we just dismiss you and give you a blessing in the name of the Lord. And we ask you to come back and just have a great, great week as well. And so want to just pray over the meal at this time so that we can move into that part of the banquet. And you will be able to look here in a few minutes and see as God's people have responded to God's desire for our heart. And we will be able to do that. I just got news during the service that James Surnier's mother has died. And we want to pray for James and for Patrick that's there with them and all the arrangements that are being made and all of those things. So let's pray over the food at this time. Dear Lord, we thank you again for this great day of blessing, great day of challenge that we have had. And we thank you, Lord, for Jacob and Naomi who were able to be with us this year right before going back to the field. We thank you, Lord, for this family, and we ask you to continue to bless them and increase their heart, their vision for you, and just let their ever place the sole of their foot treads that you'll give it to them, and they will find access into the kingdom of God at a multiplication beyond their even dreams, Lord. We pray for those this morning that have made faith promise commitments that you would just take it now and increase it. Open their eyes and let them see how that the manna from heaven, as Leslie said, will come down and they will be able to recover whatever you've put in their hearts and that it'll come back. Bless the food, our time of fellowship together in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there's coffee available if you want to have a cup of coffee before or after or during this meal. But we ask you to line up over here and get ready. As soon as the kitchen opens the door, well, the first ones can pass through. Thank you for coming. God bless you abundantly. One more. One more song.
Given the amount of people that we have, if children, would you please get with your parents and go through the line with your parents? That would be awesome. That would help kind of expedite things and help with the food. So thank you.